Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Number 67, let the children sing the first verse. Let the entire congregation sing verses 2 and 3. 67.
Down where we play the lyrics. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased."
June Aykroyd has been working with the Beavers and an American spiritual, and she's going to lead them now in that.
Pass, and as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they come with haste, and they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Thank you.
Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in the land of Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everybody else in Jerusalem. He called together the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered. "This is what the prophet wrote, 'You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not by any means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.'"
Our carol is number 41.
From them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him unto gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Since we're in the part of the narrative about the first Christmas gifts, the children have a song about giving, and something which, if you give it away, you wind up having more. Readiest love something, if you give it away,
give it away,
give it away. Love is something,
if you give it away,
you end up having more. Love is like a magic penny. Try to keep it and you haven't any. Lend it, spend it, and you'll have so many. Roll right over the phone.
Love is something, if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something, if you give it away, you end up having more.
Love is something, if you give it away. The story we've enjoyed in Beavers this week is called The Mouse in the Manger, and I show you the book just in case you would like to give something to your children for Christmas that they'll keep and enjoy a long time. It's the story of a little mouse by the name of, anybody remember?
Oscar.
Very good, Oscar. And what did Oscar want more than anything else in the world? More straw, because Oscar, along with his mother and father and brothers and sisters, lived in a hole under the ground, and each little mouse had his own bed of straw. Well, Oscar's wasn't a very big bed of straw. In fact, when he tried to plump it up and put his head on it, his head went glook right on the floor. And when he tried to burrow it in, there was only two straws across his back, and they didn't keep him warm. So he went to his father and said, "It is time that I had more straw for my bed." And his father said, "Oscar, this is winter. We cannot go out and gather more straw in the winter. Just sleep during the winter. In the spring, we'll have more straw." Oscar didn't like to be patient. He stomped his foot. "I need more straw. This is a terrible bed. Why do I have the worst bed in the whole house? Why? You don't love me." But his father assured him, "Yes, we all love you, Oscar, and come the springtime, you're going to have enough straw for your bed." Oscar went to bed, and very unhappily, he did not fall asleep. He kept asking himself over and over, "Why is this doing this to me? Why don't I have as much straw as anybody else? They're unfair to me. I'm going to run away from home, and then they'll be sorry. I really want to run away from home. I'm not afraid to run away from home." And he talked himself into it. So he gathered up his toothbrush and a little piece of cheese, and he tied him in a bandana and put him on a stick, and he took off over the fields, running away from home in the middle of the night. And his father and mother and brothers and sisters were fast asleep, so they didn't even know that Oscar was gone. After a while, he came to a place where there was some white woolly animals out in the field. What kind of animals were they, do you know? Sheep. And who was watching them?
Shepherds.
But Oscar decided he was not going to stay with those sheep because they were big and they might step on him. So he kept right on going until he came to a cave. And there was just just enough daylight left that he could see that it was a deep cave and that there were animals in it. And it had a gate, but there was a crack just big enough for a mouse the size of Oscar, that is, to slip through. And here he was in a cave that was a sort of stable. And all around on the floor was, guess what? Straw and hay both. He was so happy. You suppose he could have some of this for a bed for himself? All of a sudden he looked up and here was a big animal looking down at him because he was a very small mouse. And who was it? Martha the cow saying, "I'm as lovely as a moonbeam. Who are you?" And he said, "Please, ma'am, my name is Oscar. I'm a mouse." She said, "I can see you're a mouse. What are you doing here?" "I'm gathering straw." "And who gave you permission to gather straw?" "Please, may I have just a little straw? I won't take very much straw." And Martha said, "Well, I am a very important cow, and before I give you permission, I want to know who you are and what you can do." "Well, all Oscar can say is I'm a mouse named Oscar, and I can't do anything much. But I'd like to be your friend." "Friend," said Martha the cow, "you can't be my friend. You're nobody. You're an insignificant mouse." Do you know what an insignificant mouse is?
No, nothing.
Nothing. Very good definition. So she says, "I am so important. If I don't give the signal, the other cows don't give milk every day." And Oscar looked at all the other cows and they said, they gave milk. But Martha said, "And if I don't get up in the morning, the sun doesn't rise." Do you think that's really so?
No.
No, no. Oscar said, "So you can't be my friend?" She said, "I am much too important to be your friend." He said, "Could I have just a little bit of straw?" She said, "Take it, insignificant mouse. You little nothing." So Oscar took some straw and put it over in his side where there wasn't anybody or any animal, and he started making himself a bed. And then he saw somebody else, someone who went, "Meh." This was a sheep, that's right. And the sheep said to him, "Hello there. My name's Sydney. Who are you?" And Oscar said, "I'm Oscar the mouse, and I'm looking for just enough straw to make a little bed because in my home, I ran away from home. In my home, I didn't have enough straw for a bed." Well, Sydney said, "Take the silly straw. We don't need it." And Oscar was so delighted. He said, "You're giving me straw. You must be my friend." And Sydney said, "Yes, I'd like to be your friend. I'll be your friend on Tuesday afternoon, between lunch and supper time. I have engagements before that with very important people, but I can work you in for 2 hours of friendship. Will that do?" And Oscar said, but I need someone to talk to because I've run away from home and I feel terrible." But he'd gone. He wasn't much of a friend, was he? Well, there was one other animal. His name was Jack, and he was an ass. And Oscar said to him, will you be my friend?" And Jack said, "No way, boy, no way." And Oscar said, "Why not?" He said, "You're so small, so tiny, and I'm so big, I could step on you and hurt you. And I'd mean to do it. But if you're my friend, I'd feel bad about it, see? But if I don't know you, nothing. Doesn't hurt at all to step on somebody you don't know when he's not your friend." And Oscar felt even worse. And he said, "Could I take a little bit of straw?" "It's up to you. I don't care. You're not my friend." And Jack walked away, the ass. So Oscar took all the straw, and now he had more straw in one place than he'd ever had in his whole life. It was the best bed, the kind of bed that you could take a running mouse run and jump into and bounce a little. Now that's a good bed. He could even burrow in it a little bit and get all sorts on your back and be warm all night long. And do you think he was very happy?
Yeah.
He thought he was going to be, but he wasn't. He missed his mother and his father and his brothers and his sisters. And he was lying there in his bed when he looked up and saw something. Two people came through the doorway. One was taller than the other, and the shorter person seemed to be leaning against the taller one, and he recognized that it was a man and a woman, and the woman was in pain because she made little noises, and he understood, because his mother had had babies, that this lady was going to have a baby. And so she lay down, and her husband went to the door, and he stood watch. And Oscar went up to the pretty lady and said, "Please, miss." And she said, "Ooh, a mouse." And he said, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just Oscar, a mouse, a friendly mouse. And no one will be my friend. She said, "No one will be your friend." And he said, "Martha says I'm not important enough." And Mary said to him, "A true friend doesn't ask if you're important. A true friend likes you for what you are, no matter who you are." And he said, "Sydney, the silly sheep, he won't be my friend except for 3 hours on Tuesday." And she said, "A real friend is your friend all the time, not just on Tuesday between lunch and dinner time." And Oscar said, "Well, you understand about friendship, don't you?" And she said, "I think I do. Is there anyone else you tried to be friends with?" And he said, "Yes, Jack." And Jack said that he didn't want to be my friend because it's risky. Because if you have a friend and something bad happens to the friend, then you hurt and you feel bad. And he doesn't want to feel bad. And Mary said, "That's true of friendship. Only when you take the risk do you have the rewards and the pleasure of having a friend." And Oscar said, "Will you be my friend?" And she said, "Yes, little mouse, I'm your friend." He said, "I'd like to do something for you." And she said, "There is something you can do for me. I'm going to have this baby, and there's no place to put him except this empty manger." Empty manger. Oh, Oscar didn't like the thought of that. He'd waited so long for a straw bed. So he went over and he said to Martha, "May I have this little straw? Get away, mouse," he said. So he didn't take Martha's straw. He went to Sydney, the silly sheep, and Sydney just spat at him. He wouldn't give him any more straw. And Jack, silly ass, he wouldn't give him any either. So Sydney took the straw from his own bed, armload by armload, until he filled the manger. And when the baby Jesus was born, here was a full manger with golden hay. And Mary and Joseph wrapped the baby in what they called swaddling clothes, we'd say blankets, and Mary laid him in a manger. Sydney went back to his bed. There were just three little pieces of straw there. You couldn't jump on them. You couldn't burrow under them. You couldn't pull them over yourself when it got cold. But he didn't care. He said, "Maybe I'll go back home." And so he said goodbye to Mary and Joseph and the baby. And he went off. And he hurried and all night long until just before daybreak he got home. And he rushed down the hole and into his bed. And soon his father came and said, "Sleepyhead, it's time to get up. Did you enjoy sleeping in your little bed tonight?" And Sydney said, and Oscar said, "It was a very fine bed. And I will never complain again." Now, we have a song, don't we? Remember it? Let's try it. This song is 2 days old, so we don't expect the children to know it perfectly. Or me. Say why that star shines so lovely and bright. It's for the birthday of Jesus tonight.
shepherds abandon their sheep. Angels said, go where the babe is asleep. Joy to the World, number 39. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every tongue proclaim, let every heart declare Him true. And heaven and earth shall sing, and heaven and earth shall sing, and heaven and earth shall sing. Thank you.